Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello everyone everywhere, this is Pastor Bob Thibodeau. Welcome back to part two of our interview with Corey Poirier. If you missed any of yesterday's episode, you need to go back and listen to it because it was full of value bombs, and today it gets even better as he shares with us how to grow our experience, our speaking business, and getting in front of more people. If you're into professional speaking, how to get larger paychecks, he is going to share with us his experiences from the TEDx stage as a speaker, an international best-selling author, top-rated personal and professional development show host. He appears regularly on television, on radio, and print, writes for various magazines, and he's with us today. Let's jump right back into the interview with Corey Poirier. Amen. Now, if a person wants to make an impact in the world by speaking, what's the number one thing that they can do to basically secure a paid speaking gig?
So here's the advice I give to everybody, because it was the game changer for me. And I look back on my career now, or I do, I guess, 16 or 17 years speaking and as a paid speaker. And I look back and say, where were those pivotal moments? And it's funny, because I get paid, my very first real gig, I actually got paid. I got paid in gym memberships, not money. And then I got paid other talks with $200. And so, but it was really important to me to get paid, even if it was small, even if it was just comping me a meal. You know, there had to be something, because I felt if you start early on that way, then there's a better chance you're going to adapt to, you know, putting that value on yourself. But saying that, in terms of how did I get those early gigs, here was a big game changer. Changed that the year I came across this, and I decided, why am I not doing this? And I hadn't really heard it from anybody, but I just decided I should be doing this. Once I did that, my bookings, everything changed almost immediately. It wasn't like I jumped into a stratosphere difference, but it was a measurable difference. And what it was is that I would go deliver talks. So I would reach out to groups that I knew would let people speak for free and would put me in front of an audience that had an appetite for speakers. And then I could gain an audience in front of them. But I had to, obviously, here was the thing I was missing early on, is I had to find a way to get them to take action. So it couldn't be just, because what typically happened for years in the speaking business is you go speak at an event like that. Maybe it's a large conference, maybe it's a small chamber or a rotary or something. And then ideally, two people approach you afterwards and say, hey, do you do this for companies? You'd be great for our company. That's the perfect scenario. I mean, that was the perfect scenario for years. But I always thought, I bet you there's people in the audience who have those leads, who know of somebody who could hire me, but they're just not thinking of that mindset. Maybe I didn't mention in my talk, and when I was speaking for, and that's another way you can do it, obviously, you can add in, when I was speaking for such and such in whatever city the other day, it reminds them. You could do it that way. But I thought, isn't there a more direct way I can do that, but also make it a win-win for them? So what I ultimately did was I decided, why don't I hand out my own evaluation forms rather than letting the organization decide if they want to hand them out? And instead of having rate me one of the 10, why don't I have something that's more tangible for everybody? So what did you take from this talk that you can use tomorrow? What are you going to use to increase your productivity after this talk? What was your view of today's talk, and how could it be improved? And so the win for them is they get to be involved and engaged, because now they know they're shaping your future talks by providing feedback. They also know by writing down what they took from the talk, there's a better chance they're going to remember it and use it. The client who brings you in, now you can hand them evaluation, like what I do is anonymously, I say, here's a summary of everything. So now they know what those clients, because I'll ask, what did Corey not cover you wish you would have? And so now they know what their attendees are looking for in another talk from a different speaker or me, and all that kind of stuff. But the big one is, on that same evaluation form is, do you know of others who could benefit from a similar talk to the one Corey delivered today? And that becomes a massive lead source, because it's not that you're doing anything extra or wrong. You're just basically reminding them, hey, this guy does actually do talks like this. And then I, by the way, an extra food for thought, because this is an extra, I'll give you an extra little bonus, is on that same, my evaluation form, I also have things like, do you know of, or sorry, can we add you to our newsletter group? So now all of a sudden you're getting permission for them to opt into your newsletter. so you can contact with them in the future. And then another really biggie is, can we use your testimonials in conjunction with our services? So when they said, I loved your talk, now all of a sudden you're getting permission to have a testimonial from them. And if you're in a group of 100 business leaders and 80 fill out the form and 70 say, yeah, you can use it, now you have 70 testimonials for your website from your first talk.
That's awesome. That's awesome. That's Oh, go ahead. The next question I was going to ask you was, when someone's first starting off like this, what mistakes should they avoid making?
Well, interestingly, this is one of the, and so I'll give you a couple because this is one that popped in my head right away. And you and I, again, chatted about this, and I chat with to a lot of people about this, is you need speaking videos at some point, ideally sooner rather than later. So I think the mistake that people make is even maybe going through what I just mentioned, getting the evaluation form, do all that stuff. But then they do that for a year, but they still not have no video. So I would say a mistake is not also incorporating another shortcut and bonus is to get a camera each time you're doing these no fee talks where you have the evaluation form handed out. Even if it's your very first talk ever, video it. There may be one glimpse of 5 minutes out of a half hour to an hour that's golden. Or worst case scenario, you still have video you can watch and say, what was I doing right and wrong?
Right.
You can take the video for somebody who wasn't there with you, who knows you well, and say, hey, what did I do right or wrong? Be honest with me. So I'd say a mistake is not, first of all, figuring out ways to improve. And then, and it's also a mistake you can avoid with this evaluation form, is not figuring out what you're doing right or wrong. And the only person that can tell you that is the audience. Mm-hmm. So having evaluation feedback and stuff from the audience is huge, because then you know, here's what they liked, here's what they didn't like, and here's what I can improve. So I would say just not maximizing each time you get in front of an audience and not learning how you can improve would be two big mistakes people make early on.
Mm. Okay. Now, one thing I could add to that is when you're talking to people, you know, how they're coming up afterwards, hey, great job, you know, all that. The really passionate ones, ask them if you can videotape them on their testimonies and then add the video testimonial to the website as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah. How does comedy, you know, because of your background in comedy, how does that factor into your presentations?
I'll tell you a big one is humor is really powerful if you use it right. And humor is really powerful if you use it wrong. So if you don't use it well, it can destroy your talk. And if you use it well, it can enhance your talk. But because there's such a variable in between, because people aren't sure how this is going to go over, or people feel I'm not funny, so I can't add humor, you'll find that a lot of people shy away from it. But here's the cool part. If you can get good at humor as a speaker, you're going to stand out among the ones that are scared to use humor. But here's the variable is it going to bomb, just like I mentioned in the comedy club, or is it going to go over? And here's the funny part. I don't, you know, I'd love to be able to explain why this is. I mean, there's easy explanations, but for the full picture, it'd be hard to explain. But what works in a comedy club won't work in, obviously, a corporate setting and vice versa.
Right.
But here's what I found. You can go to a comedy club and try something and practice it all week and try it on other people, and it can go over huge and then bomb in the comedy club. But in a corporate setting, once you've been on the stage enough times, you can figure out much easier what will work in a corporate setting than what will work in a comedy club. In other words, you go to the comedy club and the same thing you think is going to kill still doesn't work. It still bombs. But you go to a corporate setting and you have a better read. If you're used to both environments. So for me, what I was able to do is take stories that had humor in them from the like that I would have shared in the comedy club that I would have maybe bombed and maybe went over, and know how they'd work in the corporate world and be able to invest easily. But the flip side is it also tells you what's really not corporate ready or corporate right material. So it helps you figure out this, because I've seen a lot of speakers that went in and shared something that went over terrible because they didn't know this is not acceptable in a corporate environment. And what really who has the biggest challenge with that is comics. There's a lot of comics who want to do corporate work because it pays better, but they go in and then they drop their F-bombs.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It just dies in a corporate world. So I guess, Robert, what I learned is how to use humor properly. And then we talked about storytelling. So I learned a lot more about storytelling. I learned how to deal with the situations that don't always go well because they almost never do in a comedy club. I had an experience. I wrote an article on this. People can check this out if they want, because I gave away a lot of what I learned from this one experience. But I delivered a talk last year, first time in history of my speaking. I delivered the talk in the pitch dark because the power went out in the entire city. downtown core. And I don't know that I would have been able to deal with that situation had I not had the experiences of being heckled on comedy clubs and having my mic turned off because they went over time by 30 seconds. So yeah. It's more about, I guess, the craft that I learned on a stand-up stage. I mean, you don't learn anything about the business side, like how to collect money and all that stuff. But you do learn about how to tell stories, how to incorporate humor, what works, what doesn't work, and how to deal with the situations that are hard to deal with.
Okay. Let's talk briefly about someone who has a message, but they don't know how to go about getting booked to speak. Can you briefly outline the steps that that person should take to get booked to speak?
Yeah. So, I mean, I gave you one with the evaluation form. That's one I would say for sure. Another one I would say, and this depends on how, so here's the thing. How important is the message to share for that person? Because if it's important enough, they'll find a way. So I'm going to give you a hack, I call it, or a trick. But at the same time, the person has to be comfortable doing this. So you have to decide that you're willing to go through maybe some rejection, like I did as a salesperson, to get your message out. So another example, and this is a shortcut, is if you want to get into corporate speaking, and this will work beyond corporate, but if you want to get into corporate speaking, you need to know who's being hired, ideally how much they're being paid. You need to know who's doing the hiring and how often they hire and all those kind of things. So what I figured out a long time ago is there's got to be a shortcut. Where are the people going? Like, where can I find the people that hire speakers? How can I find out what topics they're hiring for and all that stuff? And so one easy way to do it, and this is if a person's not willing to go to the next level that I'm going to share, they could do this, is let's say they're starting, they have a powerful message and they want to speak. I'm just saying corporate as the example, but this would work. You know, this would work for nonprofits or any different realm. But essentially, what you can do, and by the way, we can come around and talk if you want quickly too about public seminars, because that's a whole other answer. But if they want to get hired by somebody to speak and even paid to share that message, maybe they're okay not getting paid. But whatever that situation is, basically, like I would do if I wanted to sell photocopiers, I had to figure out a way to reach clients and get in front of them and talk to them. So what I would say, there's two options. One, you could just start Googling conferences. So that would be an easy answer. Just basically Google conferences in Georgia. You know, I'm just throwing an example out.
Right.
And you're going to find conferences that are close to you. If you live in a larger center or near one, even better, because there's probably a lot of conferences going on. If you lived in New York, you'd never have to leave New York in your life. and you could be speaking every day. So that's one easy hack or trick. But I'll go one step further. And this one here, it may sound like at first, I mean, I struggled with it at first because I'm like, is there anything wrong with doing this? But then I realized it's all public information. So it's not like you're doing anything wrong that way. But basically, what I realized is you can go on to, let's say, the National Speakers Bureau. So the National Speakers Association website, or if in Canada, you can go on to the CAPS and, you know, insert whichever place you're located in. You could find the similar one there and go on, let's say, the NSA, National Speakers Association. Go on their website. You can search speakers. So let's say you want to speak on customer service, since I mentioned that earlier. You could type in customer service. All the speakers that speak on customer service will come up. Their fee will probably be listed there. And then what you can do is then you can go and see, go on, look on their websites, their own websites, again, public information, or the NSA website, and see who's hiring them. Okay. So now all of a sudden, you know, okay, this person hires speakers, because if they're hiring speakers through a bureau, then chances are they hire speakers regularly. It's not a one-off. You can see how much they're paying a speaker because you see how much the speaker charges. You can see what their topic is because you see what their topic is from the NSA website. And then a lot of times you have their name and their company. So the next part is it's a matter of Googling, you know, their company website, so then you can find their number. And then basically, whether it's email or phone number, reaching out. And you can say, hey, you know, do you hire speakers? Here's what I speak on. That could be
awesome.
So I would say if you're starting, you have a message and you want to get it out, you need to figure out where the audience is that you want to get it to is, and you need to be creative on how you reach them. What I gave you there is one hack, depending on, I mean, the NSA is more obviously related to corporate speakers, but again, and nonprofit, but you could also do the same for educational speakers. And you could type in, you know, educational speakers, literally, and whoever comes up, and you can look on their website, see who's rating them and reviewing them and giving them testimonials and say, well, that's probably somebody that hires speakers. And the good part is, while you're also not hurting them, it's on their website publicly, but also most companies don't hire the same speaker 2 years in a row. So they're probably not going to hire them anyway. It's better you reach out to them and get in front of them. And if you have a great message, rather you do that than somebody that's going to reach out to them and not treat them right. So that's the way I look at it.
That's cool. What's the importance of trying to secure a TED Talk or a TEDx talk in furthering your speaker career?
So the thing about TEDx talks is, as a speaker, obviously the more credibility you have, the better. I mean, that probably goes without saying. But how you get that credibility, it's a short list of how you get it in spades, if you will. And then there's obviously you can get mini credibility. Like you can get credibility for writing an article in your local paper.
Right.
And awesome. And I obviously encourage all those things. But there's nothing like that I've discovered major media, writing a book, or delivering a TEDx type talk. And so I mean, TEDx right now is the one, you know, it's the biggest one. So right. Let's just say, instead of not even say like a TEDx talk, an actual TEDx talk. So here's the thing. There's TEDx talks that I know of you can go out and look right now that have 100 views and have been out for 2 years, meaning right. they haven't made a big splash, let's say, on viewers. I mean, they may have made an impact on those 100 viewers, but they haven't made a big splash in a bigger world. But still, when that person goes to a client and says, hey, check out my TEDx talk, there's something that goes off in that person's head that says, wow, a TEDx talk.
Yeah.
We can trust this person. So it's almost like they view that TEDx has vetted these people. And in some degree, they have, Robert.
They do, yeah, yeah.
Well, as you probably know, I mean, there's some, like one of the TEDx talks that I delivered, I think the number, and I might have this wrong, but I think the number I heard was like 600 and some applicants.
Yeah.
And they selected 7.
Right.
So yeah. When you get, I mean, they're doing a lot of vetting to finally say this person is somebody we can trust. And that's why most TEDx talks make it onto video, make it on YouTube, and make it on TED.com. It's because they vetted them beforehand. So they know this is somebody that's probably going to deliver. And so I think what happens is because clients know that now more and more people discover that they don't pay you as a TEDx speaker. So right. The fact that they don't pay any speakers and they still selected you, they didn't even pay Tony Robbins, you know, so First of all, say, wow, there's a credibility there. Secondly, vet people and make them go through auditions and everything else. And then at the same time, the TEDx talks usually are talks that can change lives. So People knowing all those things, by association, by having a TEDx talk, you gain the type of credibility you'll only otherwise gain by having a book or by having major media.
Well, do they need any special training to do a TEDx talk?
No, that's the interesting part is, again, here's the funny part. I know there's people, and I actually, in some ways, I'm okay with it. In other ways, I'm questioning it. But there's actually people that will charge you to teach you how to secure a TEDx talk who haven't actually done a TEDx talk. And I sort of have a problem with that one. I mean,
yeah.
You know, I believe it. I understand you can coach somebody in it, like as an NHL player, even if you're not an NHL player. But I think something like a TEDx talk, you need to have gone through the process fully yourself. But to answer your question, you could hire somebody to coach you in it, but you don't have to. I mean, I mentioned we have a speaking program. We also have a how to secure and deliver your TEDx talk. I have multiple TEDx talks. Otherwise, I wouldn't actually ever put a program like that out.
Right.
But when I say all this, you don't, I mean, I didn't go through any training. I obviously have been trained as a speaker. But I didn't go through any training to get the TEDx talk. So my answer would be there's a system that you can approach, and almost every TEDx talk works this way. And I mean, the super duper short version would be basically you need to find out, are there TEDx talks in your area? Go to their website and see if they accept nominations, whether from you or somebody else. Get nominated or nominate yourself. Have an amazing universal talk that would fit into their theme, even if they haven't announced their theme yet. And and put a video together. Usually they want to see a video that captures that. Cross your fingers, because there's obviously a lot of luck and timing involved, because There's amazing, brilliant speakers that have spoken at the UN that have been turned down for TEDx talks because the event said, well, you're awesome, we love your talk, but our theme this year is on artificial intelligence and your talk is about customer service.
Right, right.
So there's a whole process, but my answer, again, back to your original question, is there's no special training you need. You either have to go through it, and eventually after applying a few times, you'll discover the process or get somebody to help you with the process, but there's no specific training. I would say if you could become a masterful storyteller, if you watch a bunch of TEDx talks and see what is the common, because there is a common feel to a TEDx talk, what is the common feel? Pick up books. There's a book by the curator of TEDx and TED. I think his name is Chris Anderson. I had the book somewhere here, but it's called, I think, I don't want to say, I'll say the name wrong. But anyway, it's a TED book. So he actually reveals to you in the entire book everything that goes inside the mind of the curator of TED. So there's lots of shortcuts.
Okay. We're almost out of time, but I do want to ask, how can a person basically leverage their speaking to help grow their business or to establish their brand and things like that?
Speaking, again, goes back to that, like what a TEDx talk does, what a book does, what the media does. Speaking, from my experience, is there's nothing I've discovered that's more leverageable than speaking. There's nothing I've discovered that can help your business more. I mean, there's a reason why Apple became the number one company in the world. And a lot of people attribute to Steve Jobs.
Steve Jobs, yeah.
And his brilliant presentations that he spent 6 months at a time preparing for. But in terms of how do you do that? So I'll say it in two ends. One is we talked earlier about getting a talk at a chamber or one of those type, you know, mm-hmm. place where it doesn't have to be no fee, but let's say that your whole goal is to grow the business and you don't care about speaking fees. Well, you can go to you can reach out and get yourself in front of, let's say, events or groups like chambers. Get in there and do a talk and deliver a talk. And your talk, I mean, I'm never a believer in selling from the stage only to sell from the stage.
Right.
Value. But you can go in and say, okay, like I'll give you an example. One of our alumni in our speaking program, I just ran into her yesterday. She's a hypnotist. And okay. at this point, I don't think she has any desire to get paid to speak. But when she went through our program, in the first 2 weeks, we talked about public seminars and putting on seminars. And you can put on a seminar just to promote your business, but deliver massive value and they'll build it and they'll come. But what mm-hmm. she did was she went out and talked about her work as a hypnosis and how hypnosis can be used for this and that. And then, so what happened was she said, this is what I do, et cetera, et cetera. And she had four clients that ended up booking with her and sticking wow. with after that talk from that talk. So she never got paid a penny from the talk, but because she explained what she does, how it benefits lives, and then kind of just said, this is what I spend my time doing. People afterwards said, hey, I want to learn more about this. Or that problem you mentioned that you work with clients on, I have this problem. Can you help me with it? So that all of a sudden gets four more people into her business. The other people that didn't maybe go in, didn't reach out to her, they might tell other people, oh, did you know about this? I learned it from so-and-so. At the same time, and this is what I love about speaking. If she did that in another city, the company, even if they didn't pay her to speak, would probably pay for her travel. Then they promote her right up until the event saying, yeah. so-and-so is going to be here. And here's her website if you want to learn more about what she does. This is one, you know, that's one sort of right. pipeline. But it really, whether you have a book out that you want to promote, whether you want to get hired as a speaker, whether you want to, you have a brand that you're trying to share the message of. I'll give you one last quick example. That newspaper I used to have was called Island Business News. And mm-hmm. I started the paper and I built the brand. Instead of marketing in your traditional forms, I essentially put it on speakers boot camps. Mm-hmm. to promote the business. So I said, you know, Island Business News brings to you. And basically we were sponsoring events for local entrepreneurs. Okay. And so what happened was I did that for a year and I asked at the, I tried to test this. So the first event I did like that, it was a smaller group. And I asked how many people here heard of Island Business News before the seminar. So before this seminar was promoted to you. And it was like three hands out of a room of say 45. So it was a really right. small room. At the end of the year, and it wasn't the year to the date, but at the end of roughly a year, I asked the same question. The room was about 225. So first of all, just numbers, the room was mm-hmm. massively bigger. And the only marketing I did was those events. And I asked the question, how many people here have heard of Island Business News outside of the boot camp that I've been putting, boot camps I've been putting on? And it was, I mean, I don't know the exact number, but it was well over 80%.
Cool.
So yeah. let's say, you know, like, out of two rooms in comparison, it went from like three or four people to yeah. like 200 plus.
Right. Well, should a person establish their brand before trying to enter the speaker business or to grow their business?
So
are you there?
Talk about that option of leveraging speaking for their business and mm-hmm. nothing else. They'll say they don't want to be known as a speaker or a keynote speaker or what have you. They just want to build their brand with it. Then I would say, they don't have to, but it's beneficial to obviously know what your brand is and know, you know, almost to have your brand flushed out. So that mm-hmm. way, when you're presenting it in the best possible way. But if your goal is to have a separate speaking business, then no, you don't have to. If your goal is to be branded as a speaker first and then build a brand from it, you don't have to. So it really depends on what your goal is. But what I'll say is if your goal is to leverage speaking solely to grow your business or brand your business, then I would say you probably should have your brand fleshed out mm-hmm. because you're going to benefit the most from those talks if you do.
Okay. Well, Corey, I could go on and on, but we're about out of time for today. If a person wanted to reach out to you, ask a question, or even do an interview like this, how can they do that? How can they reach you?
So there's two options, Robert. One side is if they want to know more about speaking, and I say this, I'm pretty open about it. I have a speaking program, as I mentioned. I'm pretty open about the fact that you never have to join it and you'll still get free content from us. So you can go to thespeakingprogram.com. And if you sign up there, when we open the doors to the program, we actually put out 4 free training videos. So we teach you a lot of the speaking industry. I mean, it's probably a total of 2 hours of free training. At the same time, you're then a part of our tribe, our newsletter tribe, so you get information all the time anyway for free. And I tell people, you know what, if you just want the free videos, sign up and then opt out 2 seconds later. You know, I'm not trying to sell somebody something that doesn't want to buy it. So, but if you want to learn more about the speaking business, that's where I would send a person. If they want to connect with me, and whether it's for interviews, whether they just want to pick my brain, whatever it might be, I would send I send that person to CoreyPoirier.com. And the spelling is CoreyPoirier.com.
All right. And you mentioned a book. Do you have a book that's available?
Yeah, we have multiple books, but the one that's most applicable, I would say, to somebody listening here, because the other ones are pretty niche focused, if you will, is called The Book of Why and How. And that was literally just launched. I mean, we're talking like, I did a Kickstarter campaign to launch it. It just finished a week ago, and then we're now sort of on a mini break where you can't get the book, but then we're going to be relaunching it on Amazon. If anyone listeners are hearing this, it's going to be around January 20th, and then on Amazon. And basically, once it hits there, that'll be out for good. But basically, it's called The Book of Why and How. Those timeless secrets that I've learned from those interviews with the highest of achievers is in there. Also, I discuss how you can find your why, so your purpose and your passion. I talk about how to live in a little bit of a more meaningful way with your business and life. And then we also have roughly 400 quotes by some of the top thought leaders that we curated and figured out what are the best of the best, and they're in the back of the book.
Oh, that's cool. Okay, that's outstanding. Well, Corey, I do appreciate you taking the time. We went a little over what I thought we would, but I mean, it's just delivering massive value, and I know that our listeners are going to be blessed by it. And, you know, I'm going to encourage you folks, you know, after January 20th of 2018, go to Amazon, buy The Book of Why and How. And this is something that's going to help you no matter what your business is, no matter what your niche is. And if you're interested in learning how to speak professionally and to speak to help build your business and to make that bridge from faith-based, you know, this is the only thing we can do, to being successful in business and have a Christian-based successful business, contact Corey at thespeakerprogram.com and learn these things, because this is something that, you know, this is the technological age. I mean, we're not talking about, you know, printing presses and things like that anymore. This is the new venue that businesses must go down in order to be successful. So, Corey, I just thank you taking the time out of your schedule again, and I do appreciate everything you told us.
Well, thank you, Robert. It's been an absolute pleasure, and you know, I always look at it, if we've impacted one life, which I know will impact many more than that, but if we've impacted one life, we've done our job.
Amen. That's right. Well, appreciate it, folks. That's all the time we have for today. For Corey Poirier and myself, this is Pastor Bob reminding you to be blessed in all that you do.